to another episode of Magic the Prothering. I'm Maria, this is Megan, and on the line we have a pro, because that's what we do.
Absolutely. We, in fact, have someone who is neck in neck in neck in fourth neck of the GP points race.
Wow, a four-neck tie?
It's a four-neck tie.
Which sounds like something only aliens wear.
Yes. Look, I have a four-neck tie. It's one for each of my four necks.
Brilliant.
Anyways, we are joined today by Brian Bronduin. Hi, Brian.
Hey, what's up?
Thanks for coming and hanging out with us for a little bit and sharing a slice of the pro life.
No problem. I actually have to ask one thing, though. Is this four neck thing, is this like a meld kind of thing? Like,
do you know what? It is. Our podcast is being slowly taken over by Emrakul.
Speaking of meld, can I just start the interview off asking a question?
Sure, yeah.
About meld. Okay, so it's only on like three cards, right?
Yes.
Do you think that this is, I mean, it doesn't seem like it's going to be a limited thing because of the fact that it's never going to happen to anybody except in very rare circumstances.
Well, there's the common one.
There is the common one. But do you think that it's going to be something that we end up seeing in standard at all?
I kind of hope so, just because it's pretty cool, but I honestly have no idea, so it really depends on the rest of the set, but I could see like some decks with a bunch of Gisellas and like one Bruna. So maybe, yeah. We'll see. I don't know.
I hope so.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
I hope so too. Yeah.
And kind of disgusting.
Well, that's what I always hope for.
I actually really like it.
Yeah.
I like the art.
Yeah, I think it's super sweet. So paint a picture for us, will you? Not literally. I don't know how good or bad you are at that.
But really bad. Horrifically bad.
Okay, excellent. Then I want it to happen.
Okay.
Could you paint us a picture just sort of how you got started in Magic, a little bit of your career trajectory up to this point?
We talking like how I learned to play or just how I like got into professional style Magic?
Let's go.
Yeah, all the way back.
All the way back, man.
So I was 3 years old. No.
Whoa!
No, actually, I learned how to play in college. One of my friends, I lived on the dorm with a bunch of other nerds, basically.
Was it a nerd dorm specifically?
Not really, but it kind of ended up being that way. Like, it was a special dorm. It was called, like, The Well, for, like, wellness and some other stuff. And it just ended up being a bunch of nerds, so it was pretty cool.
Awesome.
But, one of my friends just taught us how to play, and I just got really hooked on it and started going to, like, F&M, and I don't know, just kind of all spiraled out from there, so.
Awesome. And how did you get going into professional Magic from starting out playing casually like that?
Yeah, so I kind of, like, played off and on for a few years, quitting here and there, and I've actually always lived around Roanoke, Virginia, where Star City is. So I used to play F&M there all the time and so forth. And at some point, like, Star City started bringing in, like, big guns. So they had, like, Todd Anderson and Jerry Thompson and Brad Nelson, all these guys, moved to Roanoke to, like, start working for them. And I just kind of, like, deftly snuck my way in with them. Just kind of added myself to that group. And it kind of went from there. I don't know.
Nice. Like, oh, hey, guys. No, I'm not new. I've always been here.
Yeah.
I've always been here.
I've been riding in the trunk every time you've been driving around. Didn't you know I was
back
there?
Didn't you notice me?
Yeah, I was like, where do you live? No real reason why, just interested, you know.
But question, why did you want to get involved with that scene?
Because I really liked Magic, and I'd been playing PTQs and so forth and failing for a long time. So I just wanted to kind of take it to the next level. And I'm just really competitive, so I wanted to succeed. And, like, I was like, awesome, all these great players are coming, so I can just, like, leech off of them, maybe try to get to their level.
Awesome. And do you feel like that was, like, instrumental, like, having all of these players suddenly move into the area that were competing at the Pro Tour?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, it definitely elevated my game a lot. Like, you can ask any of those guys, like Brad or Todd or whatever, when they first moved here, I was decent at Magic, but I definitely was way, way worse than I am now, and I pretty much owe that to them, just learning how to get better at it.
Nice. So we should ask them, like, what percent responsible are you
for Brian's
Magic career?
And how much is he required to pay you per payout?
I'm afraid to hear their answer. Maybe you just shouldn't ask them.
Okay, okay, well...
We'll hold off.
I want to keep those royalties to myself. So.
I want to ask, though, when you said you were playing a lot of PTQs and failing, which is something I think a lot of people can identify with, why do you think that was happening? And how did playing with those guys improve the way you are as a player?
Well, I used to think I just got unlucky a lot. So. That's kind of, I guess, a normal thing for people. But, yeah, I used to just think I got unlucky a lot. And I don't actually know how I got better. Like, it's hard to say. Like, I just think I just got better at thinking about things and planning ahead and maybe playing, but definitely playing better decks, too. That helps a lot.
Yeah, I've heard people say that just playing against people who are better than you is the easiest way to improve your game.
Yeah, because, I mean, I just, like, I'd be playing against them, and I just see them do something and be like, wow, that's better than what I would have done. I'm not going to tell them that, but it's definitely better than what I would have done, so I'll, like, log that in for next time.
Are you this competitive with other games?
Actually, not really. It depends on the game. If it's something that I, like, actually care about a lot, then yes. But if it's something that I don't care about, like... You know, if I'm just playing a casual game with my family or whatever, I'm probably, like, I'm actually way less competitive than the rest of my family in that regard.
You're like, we're going to throw down a wicked game of hearts tonight. You're all going to die.
Yeah, my brothers are actually just real cutthroat when it comes to that stuff, so.
I found that I've become more competitive in family games. I don't know, like, I play my dad in cribbage, and it's gotten to the point of animosity now.
You're like, Dad, you're going down tonight.
Nice. So, like we mentioned at the top, you are currently, there's like a Grand Prix slot for Worlds, where the person who has the most points from Grand Prix over the year gets a slot at Worlds. And it's like you and Saito are at 49 points apiece right now. And there's like two people right behind you at 48. So, how's that feeling right now? How's the pressure from that been the last couple of weeks?
Weirdly enough, there's actually been zero pressure. I know that might sound hard, because, like, Worlds is something that I never even, like, had on my radar. So, it's pretty awesome that I, like, now have this actual chance of going to play in Worlds. But I just haven't felt any pressure because, like, a month ago, I wasn't even in the race. And so now, it just feels like a free roll to me. And I'm just going and, like, doing the best I can, and if it works out, that's just awesome, and if not, then I'm still doing better than I thought I was gonna do, so I can't feel too bad about it. Yeah.
That's a really win-win situation.
I mean, that's how I feel. Like, it's a good outlook on life, right? You go into it being like, hey, you know, I wasn't expecting this, maybe I'm not gonna win, get the part, whatever, whatever, and then you get it and you're like, oh, hey, icing on the cake, you know? Icing on the cake.
Yeah, I wish I had that outlook on everything. But I unfortunately I don't always. But.
So how did it sneak up on you?
Weirdly enough, early in the year, it was something that I was actually working to do, because like 8 months ago or 10 months ago or whatever, I just like looked at the Pro Point page and just randomly noticed that I was in second place for the Grand Prix thing, and I was like, oh wow, that's kind of cool. Maybe I'll just go to all the Grand Prix and try to win it. Like, I don't think anyone else is trying at this point. So I just, like, started going to all the Grand Prix, and then people who were way better than me just were pulling ahead, and I was like, all right, well, this isn't going to work out. I'm just going to do my thing and, you know, whatever. And then Fabrizio got banned, and all of a sudden I was, like, in third place. I was like, all right, maybe I'll try again. So
awesome. Here I am. And now there you are, neck and other neck.
I wish that one day I could look on the Pro Points page and be like, oh my god, my name is in second place.
Oh wow.
What a day. What a day. Someone get me a lemonade and fan me. I'm a southern
You're
lady
a southern belle.
In this fantasy.
Yes.
Yes.
Also playing Magic.
Definitely.
Yeah, of course.
Perfect. So you mentioned that you kind of, like, you set this goal when you all of a sudden saw that it was like you were second at the time. Do you generally set goals for yourself, like, at the beginning of a year or before a pro tour or anything like that?
I do and I don't. Usually I have, like, kind of a wishy-washy kind of goal where I'm just like, hey, maybe I'll do this sometime. But I don't try to set goals for myself for a specific tournament. Like, I have to go 12-3 of this tournament or my life is a sham or whatever.
Like, brutal.
Which is yeah. the biggest, really the biggest
yes.
Yeah. So consequence. Yeah, I don't try to do that to myself, cuz that's just going to lead to a lot of like heartache and frustration or whatever. But like this year my goal was to get to hit gold sometime in the year, and I did, so I reached my goal. Now everything past that is just a little extra icing, I guess.
Megan likes to call it candy on the sandwich.
Candy on the sandwich? I like that.
I accidentally called it candy on the sandwich once. I was very tired.
I think it's great.
Is that one of those, like, you know, peanut butter, pickle, ketchup, candy sandwiches? Like,
yes.
People with those weird concoctions?
Pretty much. Oh, man. So, sorry, this is a very weirdly tangential, but someone was telling me the other day, a friend of ours was telling me, there's like a peanut butter sandwich food truck in Portland, and apparently there's like a peanut butter and pulled pork and pickle sandwich that's like insanely good. She said she was there with a group of friends, and they went to that truck twice, and she snuck away from them a third time to go back to
what?
Without telling them.
That's when you know there's a problem.
My point
doesn't
is...
doesn't sound like a problem to me.
It's not that crazy.
That sounds
candy,
so gross.
Peanut butter. I don't know. She said
it's
it was
the pickle
great.
Part I can't get on board with.
It sounds weird, but apparently it's good enough to hide from your friends. Anyways, so you said like you had a goal this year to reach gold.
You got there.
You got there. Are you looking ahead to next year at all?
Yeah, I have been a little bit, and I haven't assigned a goal yet, so I don't know what it's going to be. It might just be hitting gold again. I don't know. That's not a great goal, but... that might be it. I haven't really thought about it too much. I'm pretty focused on this year at this point.
Yeah. Well, I think you're doing all right if you think that hitting gold is not a great goal.
How many points do you need to hit gold?
It's a pretty...
33.
Okay. I have one. So there we go.
Lifetime.
I mean, that's like bronze or something. Though,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think it's paper.
It's like a participation point.
Yeah. I got a sticker. Yes.
It's like a blue ribbon.
Yes.
How did it feel like making gold for the first time?
Oh man, it felt awesome. Like it happened at Grand Prix Barcelona, and it was like an insane limited match, and it was a draft, and I like barely won the first game with like this insane series of different plays and top decks, and then I like barely won the second game, and it was just like, yes, it finally happened. Yes.
Awesome.
Which is great.
So you knew, like, while you were playing that one match of Magic, like, this is it?
Yep. I knew it. I had to 3-0 the draft, and I won, like, the first two rounds, and I knew my opponent had some, like, insanely powerful cards in his deck, so I was a little bit nervous, because I had, like, scouted him out a little bit, and, but it worked out, so.
How does, we've never asked this to somebody before, but how does your family view your Magic career?
Well, to be honest, when I first started playing Magic, I didn't tell them that I played.
Kind of like a sandwich truck situation.
Exactly. Yeah, they're like, "Hey, where are you going?"
What's
I was like, "There's like a
sandwich.
Pork sandwich truck. I'll be there for like 5 hours." So. So my mom actually called me one day and was like, "Hey, what's Magic?" I was like, how do you know about that? And she's like, well, we Googled your name and saw some decklist stuff, so.
Your mom Googled you?
Yeah, she did.
That's adorable.
That's pretty cute.
So, yeah, that's how they found out. I didn't think they would approve that I was not, like, focusing on school and I was playing Magic and stuff, but it ended up working out, so it's fine now. But.
That's nice. Cool. What is Magic? The blood in his veins ran cold. My God,
like,
they know.
I was like, what do you mean? She's like, Magic. And I was like, click.
Sorry, I'm in a wind tunnel. It's very loud. Hair dryer.
Yeah.
That old chestnut.
what would you say if you had to pick like one favorite thing about playing Magic? What is it?
I think it's like beating people with just physically, not even the game, just physically beating people.
You're tall.
you are
that is
tall
true.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm an imposing figure. I could get some people. I think it's just beating people with like pet cards or like surprise cards that they don't see coming. Like last weekend, I was playing Deathmist Raptors, and like nobody had seen a Deathmist Raptor in like 6 months.
Yeah, that's true.
We thought they were extinct.
Where did that little lizard go?
I don't know.
They were all on my sideboard, but yeah, the looks on my opponent's face when I played a Deathmist Raptor was just glorious. I think that's what I'm playing for mostly.
So do you tend to bring spicy brews just to kind of get that extra edge like you're talking about?
No, not really. Usually I just play like what I think the best deck is, but I don't know, sometimes I go off the beaten path a bit.
Nice. You mentioned like pet cards. Do you have any other besides these Deathmist Raptors that you showed up with? Like in the
history
of all of Magic. Yes.
Oh, I have a lot of pet cards actually. Deathmist. I actually don't like Deathmist Raptor, but it was just an example.
Yeah.
But I think my biggest ones are Squire, and probably the Obsidat, just because.
Oh.
When I first started playing Magic, I loved black white, and I would play any Obsidat related things. So
I mean, yeah,
the Obsidat's kind of my homeboy, but
he's a ghost council.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, he's a ghost father. He's a ghost council.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really just everything.
Although
these are things
say,
I aspire to.
He's a ghost dad that's always skipping out on people.
Yeah, that's true.
He's a ghost dad.
He's a deadbeat ghost dad.
Yeah. I mean, he's a deadbeat. Like, he's dead in more ways than one.
It hurts!
Couldn't resist.
Do you think everybody in Magic is good at puns? I mean, like, is this just the world we live in?
Yeah.
You know, I've actually spent a gross amount of time thinking about that. I've come to the conclusion that Magic players are just more predisposed to puns. So.
Somehow those two things go weirdly hand in hand.
I think it is because it's like semantics. It's a little bit semantic, like related, because we're very precise. Not everybody, but in general, they're more precise and rules based and thinking things through. And so noticing stuff like that, noticing the minutiae, I think is kind of a part of it.
Yeah.
How much time do you think you've spent? 5 hours, 10 hours, 2 days, 3 weeks?
I'm just going to plead the fifth on
all
that
right.
one.
Fine.
Too much time thinking about puns.
Six years, maybe? I don't know.
You mentioned your awesome first moment when you achieved gold playing draft. What's your favorite format?
It is Legacy, actually.
Whoa!
Fancy.
Can't say I've ever played a Legacy deck.
Have you not?
Legacy.
No.
Legacy is fun and extremely unfun at the same time.
What do you like playing in Legacy?
I've been playing Miracles for about 2 years, so you can feel free to hate me if you want, but
what? Megan likes Miracles.
That's my type of deck.
All right, awesome. Then you can not hate me then. So
not letting anybody do anything? Yeah, like I'm all right with that.
Is that the kind of deck you normally like to play? Are you kind of a control guy?
I used to be. I'm not anymore, actually. When I first started playing Magic, I actually only played... I played blue-white control and nothing else for, like, 5 years.
Nice.
And
real solid.
Megan's like, yes!
I can support this.
I think I started playing Magic in, like, 2007-ish.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first time I ever played a green deck was, like, in 2012.
So. people are saying green's the new blue.
Blue?
Yeah, now I only play green decks, so I don't know where that puts me, but...
Did it hurt your soul to play green-white tokens?
Actually, no, I actually love that deck, so...
Okay. Because it wins.
That makes you evil. That makes you evil, unfortunately.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay.
Someone
has to be evil.
That's true. There always has to be a villain.
There has to be a villain.
Sorry, what do you like about Legacy? What makes it your favorite format?
I just like that there's like so much skill involved in it, and a lot of times it feels like whether you win or lose is entirely on your shoulders. Some of the other formats, it's like you play Modern, your opponent like dumps their affinity hand on turn one, and you're just like, I'm just gonna pack it in right now.
Yeah.
But in Legacy, there's so many like cards like Force of Will or whatever that like stop people from doing those things that usually it's just. A lot of times it's just, like, whoever played the game better wins for a lot of games. Mm-hmm. And I just like having that, like, responsibility on my shoulders where if I'm, like, I lost this game, I probably, like, messed up like 10 times or somewhere in there.
So awesome. Confirmed, you think Force of Will should be reprinted?
I don't know about that.
How would you feel about Force of Will in standard?
I think it would probably be too good, but I don't know. So I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Yeah, what about Force of Will in modern?
Probably would also be too good, but again, I just like them shaking up formats, so I still wouldn't be opposed to it.
Yeah.
What about a new card that's like Force of Will 2.0, where you have to exile 2 blue cards from your hand?
It's like exile 9 blue cards from your hand, library, exile file.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that would be cool. It'd probably be pretty bad, though. I don't think it would actually see that much play.
Okay, 1.5 cards.
It's like exile 1 this time, 2 the next time.
Yes, for each time that you cast it, mm-hmm. you have to exile 1 more card.
Ooh.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, it works
that
out.
That seems like a thing.
Yeah, it's like the cards that were spoiled just the past 2 days,
mm-hmm.
or that were previewed the past 2 days. The one that you draw a card for that card, and then also for one for each one that's in the graveyard with the
right,
same name.
Right.
And then the one with damage.
Yeah.
Yeah, they used to have a cycle that did that way, like, I don't know, long before I started playing. But that cycle worked off of, like, both players' graveyards, so things got really crazy.
So you've been playing for quite a while. How have you seen the game evolve over the years? Are you liking the direction that it's been going?
Oh, definitely. When I first started playing was like Time Spiral was the set, and that was like late 2000s, 2007 or whatever. And everything then was all about spells, like, you know, Damnation and Mystical Teachings and all this kind of stuff, like all these kinds of insane counter spells in Standard. And now it's just all about like giant creatures and combat. And I think it's actually just way better that way. There's still like just as much skill in my opinion. It's just a lot different, but I think it's just much easier for players to get into. Like, you know, you don't want to sit down at your first match of Magic and it's like you just like cast all your spells into counter spells or whatever. You'd rather just like you play a creature, they play a creature, then you bash them off each other. So I think it's just way better for the game.
Yeah. I mean, I love creatures, so I'm on board with this, but it's kind of funny for me to think about a time when that wasn't the way that it was and that creatures were just terrible. It's
yeah.
weird to think
People
about.
People used to like play decks with like no removal spells and just a bunch of counter spells and stuff, and it's like you could never play that kind of deck now where like your opponent just plays like a giant creature on turn 2 and then you just die. So
yeah.
Megan,
yeah.
would you play that deck?
Look, Maria, I know that you said I like creatures as though I don't, but I like creatures because they provide targets for my removal spells. Like, what good would a Languish be if I wasn't killing anything with
okay,
it?
Okay, fine.
I like creatures, is what I'm saying.
Can't argue with that logic. That's just a valid point. Brutal
logic. So where do you think... I mean, Legacy isn't a format that gets a lot of... Don't get no respect. I don't mean that. I mean, like, we're not playing it out of Pro Tour or whatever. So how do you feel about that? About like Standard and Draft in that situation, are you just like, well, I'll play them because that's what I have to play, or you secretly wish there's Legacy thrown in there?
Actually, I don't think it would be good if there was, mostly because of the price of cards, and like a lot of the cards in Legacy like are on the, I guess the reserve list. They can't be reprinted. So like if it was like a Pro Tour format and like all of a sudden like 500 Pro Tour competitors needed Legacy decks, then like Underground Seas would be like $1,000 or something.
Things would go insane.
Yeah, so I think it's actually way better for the game that's not the case. Also, it's possible that pros might just destroy the format. So
I mean,
I don't know.
We saw when we gave them another Modern Pro Tour
what they did to that format. That happened.
Yeah, all of a sudden Eldrazi were everywhere, but yeah, I think Standard only Pro Tours is actually pretty great. Even though I'm not like I like Standard, but it's not my favorite format. But I think it's just the best format for a Pro Tour. It's like the new cards actually affect things, and it's a format that everyone plays. So like they get to watch the Pro Tour and then go play those decks. So
right.
I think it's probably the best format.
Awesome. So if you were going to give players one tip to like help them get better at the game, what's your like one piece of knowledge to drop?
Oh, man, I've been asked that question so many times, and I still don't have a single tip. I really should.
So many times.
Yeah.
But we asked it the best, right?
Yeah.
You asked it the best way. Yes. So, yeah.
The same words.
Not to take anything away. Yeah. The same words just said just in a more said better. Powerful manner.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm known for the power with which I ask standard questions.
Yes. Yes. Great.
Yeah. I'm actually like, I kind of like went back in my seat a little
Ooh.
Bit.
Just
taken
nice.
A little bit taken aback. I think it's. The biggest thing is to just, like, always try to be improving. And I think a lot of people get complacent or maybe they, like, think that they're as good as, you know, you can be and things like that. But it's just not the case. And, like, even people, like, even the best players can always get better. So I think, like, the biggest tip is to just always try to be, like, improving. If that's something that you care about. Not everyone cares about that. But
yeah. Would you say... This is like a speculative question, but do you think that like players who are trying to be competitive but aren't quite getting there, like do you think that there's a ceiling on like how good you can be if you keep practicing, or if you keep practicing is there like you can get there, you just need to like figure out the right thing to do?
I don't know that answer actually. I've also spent a lot of time thinking about questions like that, and I think everyone does have a ceiling. And I think it's different for different people too. Like some people, like the Finkels of the world, are just like I'm never gonna get to that level.
The one
like, they
Finkel
just have a
of
way.
The world.
Well,
the
I was just
Finkel.
It came into my head of Finkel's family reunion, and it's just a bunch of Finkels, and they
just,
all kind of
yeah.
like
they all look,
like,
look
him.
Like him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a great image.
When you said the Finkels of the world, you meant players like that, but we figured you meant an entire
family of Finkels.
Yeah.
Of people who look exactly the same.
I just imagine them all, like, talking to each other at the same time, just, like, all over each other or whatever.
Yes.
And, like, the same mannerisms. They're, like, mirrors. They're, like, mirrors of each other.
Oh, this is great.
Right?
Yeah. That's pretty awesome. I'll remember that for next time. But
I think about this kind of thing, right? Because I wonder, when will I hit my ceiling? Because, you know, math...
If you stand up, because you have
this
weird,
it's very
like,
low.
Attic corner.
It's very low.
Yeah.
When will I hit my metaphorical ceiling? I'm not a math person. So sometimes I worry that because that's not a natural inclination of mine, that I am going to suffer eventually for it more than I currently do, and that I just won't be able to keep up. But I don't know. That's just something that goes around in my head, and I'm sure other people think about that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think about that all the time myself. Like, I feel like, I mean, I've worked, like, so hard for Magic, much harder than a lot of other people do who are still better than me. So I feel like, you know, for me, it's, like, maybe a little bit harder to get there, or my ceiling is lower, or so forth. But I don't actually know exactly how it works. And I think that everyone does have a different ceiling, and some people are more naturally inclined to Magic than others. But I also think that most people's ceiling is, like, way higher than where they are. And I think that most people's ceiling, you know, they could get to a pretty high level of Magic if they were to actually reach their ceiling. So I don't know. It's like kind of, I can kind of see it from both sides, I guess.
It's kind of a poignant metaphor if you think that we're all living with ceilings a lot lower.
No,
think that our ceilings are a lot lower than they are.
I do think people chronically underestimate themselves. I think that's totally true.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true, yeah.
So right now, nowadays, you're writing for Channel Fireball. So it's like, how does that go? Like, how do you come up with ideas for articles or like videos and that sort of thing?
Oh man, I don't know, actually. Like, I just, a lot of times it's really hard for me, and I like, am struggling every article to come up with something, and a lot of times I can like I have like the next five articles planned out, so usually it's just like things that are happening in the Magic community or like certain decks or just like I like to write tournament style reports a lot, and that's always an easy article to write, like I went to a tournament and here's some sweet things that happened, and people usually like those kinds of articles. So,
do you write down between games stuff so that you remember for your tournament report?
No, I don't. I just remember.
Whoa! Because I had to write, just recently, I wrote like a joke one where I went to an FNM, and I just wrote it like a tournament report. And I had to write, like, I had to take such detailed notes every round about what happened. I would have had no idea if I tried to go back and write it. Maybe I need to, like, concentrate on remembering game states and stuff. It might actually help me. now that I think about
like,
it.
You have to, like, cite, like, sources for your F&M tournament report. Yeah.
And my teacher's like, not Wikipedia, Maria.
Bibliography.
Yeah. I don't know. I just have a really good memory for magic. I have a really bad memory about... It's weird. Like, I have a bad memory about things that I don't really care that much about, like, or things that I don't deem that important to me. But things that, like, are really important to me, like magic, I just, like, remember everything. Like, I can remember games that happened, like, 5 years ago or whatever. I don't know.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's intense. Do you remember your own birth? Some people say that happens. Is that important to you?
Those people are liars. Yeah,
That was not important to me at all.
I've always thought they were secret liars, too.
My own birth? I could take it or leave it.
Yeah, I remember my birth. Like, I think I came out, like, high-fived the doctor. Yeah. Said what's up to my mom. Like,
you were, like, the chillest baby. Like, hey,
yeah, yeah. Hey, what's up, world?
What's up?
You know, fist bump some other babies nearby. Like,
you were, like, king of that tiny baby center where they put them all.
Yeah, exactly. Like, within, you know, 5 hours, I had them all under my command, so.
Yeah. Well, we're lucky that it was a pretty small hospital. Yeah. Otherwise, you would have taken over the world. We would currently have babies as our leaders.
I'd be fine.
I was basically like a prison boss for the babies in that hospital.
It was like a mafia, but of babies.
Baby mafia.
Baby mafia. Which is...
Hold on, I have to go write a movie. I'll be right back.
That's what the sequel to The Departed is about, actually.
Oh my god!
It's just The Departed again, but they're all babies.
There's a rat baby in there somewhere, like.
Yep, exactly.
Ratting us out.
Babies are such rats. Think about it. The minute something goes wrong, they start crying about it.
Yeah.
That's true.
Number one rat.
Can't trust them.
No, they would know right away.
I never tell babies any of my secrets. They will not keep
them. That is a really solid plan. I accidentally once told a baby a secret, and they just blabbed it all over. It wrecked me. I actually live under assumed name now.
Oh,
Megan
nice.
Is not
yeah.
my first, oh, my real
oh,
first name.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, no, I know. Like, just don't Google it, okay?
Don't be Brian's mom.
Don't be Brian's mom.
Speaking of goals earlier in this interview, I want to know, just like, looking back, where you, say 5 years from now or wherever, what would be the point you would hope that you would be at in your career?
Well, first of all, I hope that I actually even have a career in 5 years. who knows what will happen with magic or anything, so I don't know. It's kind of hard to plan that far ahead, but honestly, I kind of hope that I would get into more of like a community style position. Like, I would like to do, like, you know, maybe, like, maybe not necessarily, like, commentary, for example, but more, like, you know, community-style video type stuff or that kind of stuff. I think that would be pretty cool. Maybe not just always be playing competitive Magic, but, like, take a role in the community outside of that.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
We're in said community.
Yeah.
Sometimes
you guys are actually a perfect example.
It's an okay place to be.
It's an all right place to be. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So what do you, tell us what you do outside of magic.
Not a whole lot, actually. I'm going to have to, I'm just going to end this call right now. I don't really
runs away.
Mom, what?
Yeah.
No, I'm so, what?
Yeah.
I think my mom's actually on the phone right now. I gotta go get that. Honestly, I don't really do that. Like, magic's actually just such an enormous part of my life that, It's almost my entire life. Beyond that, like, I've been going to the gym every day. Sometimes, you know, hang out with some friends or watch TV or read books or whatever. But really, like, I'm basically traveling like 4 days a week. So, and then when I'm home, I'm like writing articles and videos and stuff. So it's pretty much just almost my entire life at this point.
Yeah,
some way it has to be.
Yeah, I never really thought about it when you said you're traveling 4 days a week, and I was like, but there's only 7 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like usually Friday and Monday I'm traveling, and then Saturday and Sunday I'm playing in a tournament, so.
Yeah, no, that's intense.
Yeah.
I mean, Magic seems pretty, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't say this because I'm not familiar with a lot of esports or whatever, but it seems really unique in that because it's constantly changing and it's got, like, such a long history that staying on top of it can be a real challenge.
Yeah, it actually really is, and I noticed it a lot. Even, like, last weekend, I played the standard GP, and I had been like playing Legacy for the Legacy GP and like Modern, some other formats for different tournaments. And it was like the first time I played standard in like only like 3 weeks. Like it hadn't been that long, and I still felt like I just had like I didn't know what to do with my hands. Like I just I had no idea what was going on. Like it was, and it was only like two, three weeks or whatever. So I can't imagine like being out for like 6 months and then trying to come back and just like, you know, all of a sudden there's like meld cards and like Angel Eldrazi, and I'm just like, I don't even know.
What if you saw that Brazella card, you came back, you would just be like, what has this become?
It's like, come back, I see that, I'm just like, well, I'm right back out again.
Here we are. Oh, nice to see you. Mom, I'm sorry. No, what?
What? Wind tunnel.
And, you know, notoriously, yeah, when you play Legacy and Modern, you're doing different stuff with your hands than you are in Standard.
Yeah.
Which is why it's difficult to remember.
Like flipping people off when you kill them on turn one. Boom.
Oh, yeah.
So Maria and I have played, like, mostly limited.
Yeah.
For most of the time that we've been playing. And then we played the Standard GP in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And because of that, like, we were practicing Standard more before that and we were playing it. And literally at the end of the weekend, we were both just like, shuffling a 60 card deck is such BS.
So hard. We hate it.
Such bullshit. Like, give me a 40 card deck to shuffle any day. It's so much more manageable.
We have tiny little child hands.
That's true.
Yeah, that's how I feel every time someone hands me like an EDH deck, and I'm just like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I can't shuffle this.
How do you even start to shuffle an EDH deck?
Yeah, I haven't even thought about that. I've like shuffled Commander like once.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
I don't know.
I need to like grow like a third hand or something just so I can
manage it.
That's so creepy.
You can go all Eldrazi on the situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have faith in Emrakul to get me there. So
we'll see. Whoa, he swallowed the Kool-Aid.
Creepy.
The creepy Emrakul.
Spooky. Spooky moon.
The Rakool-Aid. The Emrakul-Aid. Got there.
Ooh, nice. I like
it. It was really straight, like, considering how straightforward it was.
Yeah.
It took you a scary long time.
I know, because I was thinking of Emrakul smashing through the wall and saying, oh, yeah.
Anyone listening to this podcast, if you can please make us a Photoshop or an illustration of Emrakul as the Kool-Aid Man,
we'll
be forever indebted to you.
Thank you and good night. I have a very basic question for you.
Okay.
Why do you love Magic?
Man, that's actually a really complicated question. I just really like actually, there's so many like reasons I like Magic. I like the fact that it constantly changes, so you have to like keep up with it. You can't just kind of rest on your laurels. Like, I used to play a lot of chess back in the day, but it's still the same now that it was like 10 years ago or whatever, and Magic's just like way different. So I like that. Like, I always like whenever it changes. I like the competition aspect of it a lot, and I mostly like the community aspect of it. Just met a lot of friends through Magic, almost all my friends actually, and a lot of cool people, and I just really enjoy that part of things. Sometimes I'll go to a tournament and do really bad, but I just get to hang out with cool people and it makes it fine. So, I think that, I don't know, there's just so many reasons why I like Magic, but those are probably the big three.
And what, if you could, would you change about the game?
Man, I don't actually know. I think I would change a lot about, like, the tournament structure more so than the game itself.
Sure.
Just try to make it, like, more enjoyable for people, because a lot of tournaments are kind of long, grueling affairs and not always the most fun. And I would try to, like, find a way to make it more appealing to more people, or maybe not, like, people just jammed in a tiny spaces in a convention center for, like, a 4,000-player tournament. Try to get rid of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they are a true, like, Oregon Trail situation sometimes.
I definitely got dysentery.
I have shot a lot of bison in centers.
And I have been left behind when there was too much weight on a wagon to float it across the river.
That's so sad.
I know, you guys. It was really rough.
Yeah, I try to always ford it, but sometimes I have to cock the wagon and float it.
No.
So, yeah.
Sometimes you can't get across.
Think about an Oregon Trail themed set. I'm in. I'm just saying. I'm in.
Oh, I'd be in for that, too. Yeah. That'd be great.
That'd be pretty sick.
You'd have like a
maybe like
gun.
You sit down at the draft and you like have to choose if you're a banker or a farmer. or...
That'd be awesome.
Yes.
Oh,
it would really
God.
Be.
I think that'd be pretty sweet.
It would really be that ox's time to shine.
What's oh,
that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The Pillarfield ox.
Pillarfield ox, maybe Inquisitor ox.
Yeah. Like, oh, they'd yes. really have their moment.
They
they'd
would be
like,
the best card.
Guys.
Legendary mythic ox.
Mythic ox.
Has there ever
like, this
been?
This 2/4/4 is the best card in the set. Have fun with this. Yeah.
Now yeah. I want to know. Gather.
You,
magic.
Are you seriously wondering if there's a mythic ox?
I want to know if there's even an uncommon ox. There's got to be, right? Ox.
An uncommon ox.
I feel like there has to be, but.
Yeah.
My problem was I wrote an ox, but it that also counts mox.
And also fox.
Fox.
And also Equinox.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah, Golden Hide Ox. That was uncommon.
Oh, that's
yeah.
right. I remember that,
also
buddy.
Box. Various puzzle box.
I'm getting so many
so it really gets,
bad hits.
It really gets to be a part of so many different cards.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Isn't that
never
nice?
Thought about
maybe,
that.
Maybe there's just oxes in all of us, you know, somewhere in there.
We're all just basic 2/4s or 0/4s.
And then we make ourselves
okay with that.
Mythic.
Ooh, wow.
Deep.
That is deep.
Wow. What a thought, man. Awesome. Well, that's pretty much what we've got. Is there anything that you want to that we should have asked and we didn't ask you?
You guys got to get it off your chest. Tell us about anything in your life.
Oh, man. No.
We didn't make it. We asked every question.
The whole thing.
You asked them all. Like, I can't think of a single question that has not been asked.
Oh, perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect. Of anything, anywhere.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on Magic the Prothering. You're a fantastic guest, and hopefully we get to chat with you more in the future. What events are you going to be playing next?
So this weekend, in 2 days, I'm flying to Brazil, so we'll see how that goes.
All right, Sao Paulo.
Sweet.
Oh. Yeah, Team Sealed GP, that'll be fun. Playing with a couple of pretty awesome guys, Shaheen Sarani and Pascal Maynard, so who knows how that goes, but I'm hoping to just have fun regardless.
Awesome. Well, good luck out there.
Yeah, and if people want to contact you, how can they get a hold of you?
I'm on Facebook, just my name. I'm also on Twitter. At Brown Doing It, and
didn't realize that was your name. It's so good.
Nice.
And yeah, I'm on Channel Fireball as well. I write articles and do videos. So
sweet.
Basically, it.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. Go check him out. Find him on Twitter. Check out his articles on Channel Fireball. And remember that patrons of our show help make episodes like this possible. So if you're already supporting, awesome. Thank you. And if you're not, get your butt on over there.
Yeah, patreon.com/mtacast. Thank you for making this show happen. And thank you, Brian, for being an awesome guest.
You're welcome. It was great.
High five digitally. It makes no sound. It's not satisfying.